Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Got your Huskies t-shirt on today.
Sure, why not?
Go Huskies, go Dogs, and go probate.
Oh, yes.
We are continuing our discussion on the world of probate. I had a couple of shows about this, legacyandfaith.com, to listen to those shows again. You want to review a little bit about where we've been with issues regarding the probate process.
Yeah, you know, probate is a big looming thing out there. It's almost like it's become this big monster sitting in the corner of a room, and people are afraid of it, but they don't see why. They may have misunderstandings about the probate process. So really, this discussion is to try to take away some of those myths and some of these big advertised problems with probate, the cost, the timing, that it's a public record. While some of those things may be true, such as the last one, that yes, you do have to start a court case and that becomes a public record, and there could be a private closing, a private family way to close an estate instead of using the court system. But in Washington specifically, the cost is not astronomical. It is in other states. And so that's kind of where we get this big looming, I want to avoid probate because the government's going to take everything. That is not true. That is not the way it works. Almost in any probate, the government's not going to take it. What they are going to take is their statutory fees and other things, but we don't have those in Washington. So therefore, the cost is highly mitigated in our system. And typically in Washington, the court will stay out of your way when you have to use the probate system. So it's called a non-intervention process. So the court is not going to intervene unless someone goes to the court and says, I need your help. So that's a pretty decent process as well. So the probate system in Washington, it doesn't cost astronomical, and it does not the court is not going to stick their nose in it and just keep their tabs on everything. Then in Washington, why would we have a discussion of probate? Why not just let everything go to probate? Well, we still have a couple other looming questions, which is number one, it is that public forum. Court systems are intended to be open forums for integrity purposes so that everything is not done behind closed doors, right? Because things that are done in secret will be shouted from the mountaintops eventually. So therefore, it is better to have an open process instead of one that is behind closed doors. Now, there are a few things that a court can actually keep under seal. It is typically things that we want them to keep under seal, such as dealing with minor children, a lot of cases involving sexual content or other things of that nature. Those can be sealed records and not as open to protect identities and to protect individuals. But for the most part, we are going to have an open court process. So therefore, I really don't want all my assets going through the court system for it to be fully disclosed, my beneficiaries to be known. So all these things would actually be disclosed in a court system. Who are all my who are my heirs? Who are my beneficiaries? What was my estate worth? And what were my expenses? And then the phone number, address of the person who closed my estate. So there is an opportunity then for someone to see those records and start understanding more about my family and about what is happening within my estate. I may not really appreciate that. So therefore, I think it is a reasonable desire for most individuals to keep that as a private family issue instead of an open court issue. So that is still one issue that, well, not going through that process would be a good thing. Then we still have a timing issue. So, and that's kind of where I want to spend a little bit of our discussion today is, well, the timing of everything still can be a bigger deal in the probate process versus a private process. So that's where we've been with the previous discussions of this series, that we've had a couple of them already. We're doing at least today's, maybe one more after this. And just to bring to light exactly what is this probate thing and why would you still want to avoid it if it's not going to cost you an astronomical amount?
Yeah, but now I thought that we are able to pretty much avoid probate if we have a trust.
Well, we can if a trust is done properly and your assets are in it. Unfortunately,
it's hardly ever complete.
Unfortunately, as an estate planner, I review
probate,
a bunch of them.
Some level of probate is pretty common.
It is unfortunately very common. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into even some of those things later in today's conversation as well. But yes, there are ways to avoid. As a matter of fact, we talked about that in our last show, is we can use beneficiary designations. We can use joint assets. We can use a beneficiary deed on our property. All those things are tools to avoid a probate, but that doesn't answer a lot of the family questions. And so there is a way to sidestep probate, even when using a will, believe it or not, and have it pretty predictable that you can avoid the probate. Mm. So if the issue about estate planning is just to avoid probate, then you can do that. But that's not the issue of estate planning. Mm. Estate planning is far, far more. Estate planning is ensuring that you as an individual are protected and taken care of first. So that's why we need strong and well-done financial powers of attorney, medical powers of attorney, end-of-life documents, community property agreements when appropriate, and many other things that as a firm we would set up and make sure that that everything is taken care of. So not only do we need to make sure that the client is well taken care of in estate planning, but also we need to look at the family holistically. What are the concerns? Do we have any children that are having problems? Do we have any drug addictions? Do we have people that just don't know how to manage money? Doesn't make them a bad person. It just means they don't possibly have the skill set. So you're going to leave them something and they're going to blow through it, or they don't know how to manage it right. They're going to get a really cool car out of it, but is that really what you want your inheritance to go towards? And que sera, sera, I'm dead, so who cares? Most people still care. So estate planning is far, far more about the family versus avoiding probate. But yet out in the public, we've talked about, but we can avoid probate. Yes, we can. But it actually is something that even if clients come in to the office and say, I want to avoid the probate process, my brain goes, okay, but let's really discover what you need in estate plan. Mm. Because it's not just about this one topic. Mm. Yes, this one topic is something to discuss. And is it better to avoid it than go through it? In my opinion, yes. Why have an open public process? Why have an unknown time factor of closing it? Why not have something that is far more predictable and simultaneously make sure that you're well protected and simultaneously make sure your family is protected and altogether ensuring that the vision that God has given you with being a steward over all of your assets is actually going to be carried out even after you're gone. So now that is my perspective. I don't believe stewardship ends just because you die. I think it is intended. God is about legacy. And so therefore, I believe that we are to hand things off with legacy and with purpose and with stewardship in mind. And so therefore, avoiding the probate has nothing to do with any of those.
Okay.
So therefore, there's a lot more about estate planning than just avoiding the probate process.
Well, we haven't avoided it. How come probate does take so long? Or
yeah.
How long should it take? Seems like it takes years sometimes.
It can, unfortunately. And by the way, statistics show that the more money you have, the longer it takes. Mm. So I think I mentioned on the last show that I can't close a probate faster than 6 months.
Okay,
and
so, kind of
so number one is that any probate system is going to be a 6 month journey no matter what. And that is just simply because there are things in Washington law that we have to fulfill. And by the time someone actually gets to the office, it takes multiple weeks to get death certificates. We can't do anything without a death certificate. And We actually start getting the mail. We actually start collecting bills. There's a whole process. Then we got to inform beneficiaries. Then we can send out creditor notices. And before you have even blinked, we're 6 months into this process. So can I close a smaller estate within 6 months? Yes. If we have someone who had all of the bills and assets very cleanly organized, and we were able to step in and really start moving on the estate process very quickly. Now, that's a rarity. In one of the cases where it does happen is if an adult child has been caring for their parent for a period of time and is already very familiar with what bills and things mom or dad are receiving in the mail because they've been paying them for years. Mm. They know where their assets are because they've been helping mom and dad manage them for years. That's actually when probates can move very, very quickly. Mm. Or if it's a very small estate. So, but since that is not the normal case, and the normal case is someone passes away, they were trying to hang on for dear life to control and power. And so they were trying to pay their bills. And now all of a sudden, there is a massive delay between us collecting all the mail, understanding what bills this person has in their estate, finding all of the assets. Nowadays, we have so many assets that we don't even get statements with. Right. We all log into a computer
online,
and we don't get a single thing in the mail. That is creating a more difficult probate process nowadays than what it used to when you got everything through the mail. Because now...
But they say it's supposed to be more convenient to have it online.
Well, for you to manage it maybe, but nobody
thinks... Not for somebody to figure it out.
Nobody thinks about, when I die, this is going to be virtually impossible for anyone to find. Because now we have to create a felony and use your username and password after you die, because you're not allowed to do that by federal and state law. You're not allowed to use someone's username and password without their explicit permission. So now we have to find what accounts, and they're online. They're hidden from our eyes. We're not getting statements in the mail anymore. This is increasing the difficulty of finding assets. And so while it might be convenient for you, and while it's great to have bill pays set up, while it's great to have invoices or monthly charges going to your credit card, these types of things actually begin to slow the probate or the closing process, whether you use a will or whether you use a trust. It is a more difficult process nowadays with security features, online features, because we just simply don't have the same access as what we used to, because everything came to the mail. All we had to do was watch like a hawk for the next 30 days, everything that came to the mail, and we pretty much understood your entire financial life because it came to the mailbox. That has greatly changed. So one of the things that any listener can do is really set out a list of, these are my current bills, these are my current assets. Make sure that the person that you have named as the individual that is going to close your estate, whether you have a trust or whether you have a will, understands what you have, because that will speed up the process. Now, I just said that, and there's many listeners that go, wow, that's a really good idea, but only one of you will do it. So so that's always a problem, is that we have great ideas, but nobody really likes to do this stuff, because then it means we're dead. So therefore, it is becoming more difficult. That is increasing the time of any estate, will or trust, because we have to find things. Now, in my process, in my system, that's actually greatly mitigated because of our continued relationship. That's one of the huge benefits of actually utilizing our process versus almost any other process out there, is that we actually do stay in touch with clients. We actually do understand where assets are, thereby greatly speeding up a settlement process for your family.
Okay, looking once again at the issue of probate this week on the show, we'll look at how do we pick a person to handle the estate in just a moment. Taking a break here, but people are intrigued. They can tell you we'll help them get organized. If they're not organized in their estate planning, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at issues involving probate and continuing our discussion this week with Paul. And before we get into how to pick somebody to help you as your representative in your estate, we want to still talk about why it takes so long and what takes so long.
Yeah, I just saw something that the average probate takes 18 months. That's just the average.
No.
So the average probate takes 18 months. And that's a far cry from 6 months that it takes me to close it. Now, again, let me quantify that, which is if everything is in order and it's a small estate, I can close something in 6 months. That is not your typical closing process. That's not usually what happens in a probate. So then why does it take so long? Why would it go from 6 to 18 months? And remember, the beneficiaries are in the background chirping away. When am I going to get my money?
Right.
They're not helping with anything. So typically, this is going to fall on one person in the family, and you already know who it's going to fall on. And yes, I know all your kids get along great, and you have a tight-knit family until you die. So now one person is typically what I see in a family. One person takes the brunt. There's the quote unquote responsible one or the one that you gave the duty to. Everyone else is on the sidelines just chirping of what's taking so long.
Yeah, I want to get my house.
Yeah, I already bought the car. I already did this because I thought I was going to get my inheritance much faster. So then that puts financial pressure on others, and they're starting to make plans. Oh, I thought I was going to be able to retire. I've heard that one multiple times. And so all these plans are beginning in the background with beneficiaries. So now there's added pressure to the individual who is trying to do their job and manage everything, step into the firing line that you've put them in, and still trying to close the probate. So why does it take so long? Well, number one is that we do have creditors. You just don't simply pay a bill. As a matter of fact, if you just had a bill sent to you, do you simply open it, write a check, and mail it off? No, you make sure it's from a company you know. You probably look at the usage of your electricity and wonder why it's so high this month. And then so most individuals are going to review something and make sure it's a legitimate bill. Do you know how many bills we receive in an estate that are not proper bills?
Hmm.
So how about this? If a credit card, if a medical invoice, anything else comes to an estate, does the personal representative or the executor have perfect knowledge of how that bill was actually created? In other words, do they have perfect security that it is, that everything is done right? Here's the problem. Now the credit card sends it to a collection company because no one's been paying on it, right? So now the collection company simply sends you owe this much money. There's no bill attached. There's no record of why the decedent ran up the bill or didn't run up the bill. All you get is a notice. Mm. There is a duty to investigate and ensure that that is a legitimate bill of the estate before somebody pays it. Mm. And then there's a whole process of being able to force that company to go through a certain process and claim their rights as a creditor. So creditors just don't automatically get paid. So much money has been wasted in probates because someone will just simply write a check and not investigate, and they pay every bill that is coming under mom or dad's name. That is actually not what you're supposed to be doing. Really? And in my opinion, it would breach a fiduciary duty to the beneficiaries, which is you're supposed to caretake the entire estate and do a reasonable, not in depth, you're not supposed to hire investigators and the list goes on, just a reasonable investigation of whether or not that is a legitimate bill before paying it. So these things start taking time all of a sudden, which is, well, if I'm supposed to actually do my fiduciary duty, if I'm supposed to act properly so that no one else can come back and say, well, why did you pay that bill? Why did you do this? That indeed everything is lining up. So again, the person that you're asking to close a probate is on the firing line. They have arrows pointing at them, specifically when they have siblings and other beneficiaries. If it's charities, if it's siblings, if there's other nieces and nephews that you've given money to, they need to do things properly. And the reason you do it properly is because that is safe. That is a safe way for that person to protect themselves. It is better to be safe. Now, when you do things line by line, that simply takes time. Mm-hmm. The probates that simply just distribute the money, pay the bills, we're all done, everyone go away happy, kind of until all of a sudden there's a problem, until a creditor comes up and says, you didn't pay us. Then you have to go back to beneficiaries possibly and ask for contribution.
Because you've already distributed all the money.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the statute actually says that you're not supposed to be giving money to beneficiaries until you have confirmed that all creditors are paid. So now let's go backwards again to what we were talking about after break, which is now I don't know where the creditors are because everything just went to a Visa card because they were automatic bill pays. And I don't know what bill is legitimate and what bill is not legitimate. Mm. Now I got to chase them all down. So there is space and time in all of this that unfortunately begins to be created. Now, here's the other issue. Typically, we name a child, the responsible child, to do this. They just lost a parent. So now you're intervening on their grieving process, and they're a real human being. They have a real life. They have real issues in their life. Maybe life is very good, but maybe it's not. Maybe they just went through a divorce. Maybe they're having problems with their own children, and the kids are causing
quite often
difficulties.
They're still working, too.
They're still working. They have a real job. So do you think that would slow down everything? If you've left a house full of stuff, do you know how long it takes to clear out a house and to deal with stuff and to throw things away because you couldn't throw stuff away? And now we got to fix up the house. We got to bring in contractors. We have to make decisions on what to fix and what not to fix. Then we got to sell the property. Things fly off the shelf pretty fast here. But what if we were in a slower market? Recently, I did have a house that sat on the market for a year. It was a unique house, but it took over a year to sell the house. Mm. So now we've got other people, again, chirping in the background of when the house is going to be sold, as if the personal representative has any control over that. Mm. So all the while, the person saying, no, don't you dare reduce the cost of the house. I want as much as possible. Okay. So all of these things begin to creep in and take more and more time. Mm. Statistically, what I just read is that it takes an estate that has $5 million or more 36 months to close. Mm. So now we've gone from 18 on an average estate up to 36 because you have more assets to chase, more taxes to deal with. We haven't even talked about taxes. Estate taxes, you have to file a last 1040 for the decedent. That takes time. And so all of a sudden, and all these things have to be paid because the IRS is a creditor. So technically, all these things have to be dealt with before a distribution can be managed. Why is there so much stress on a family through the probate process? Number one, tons of lack of communication. There's very little communication to everybody to keep everybody informed. The attorney doesn't call you back. The attorney won't talk to the beneficiaries. And sometimes you never pick the right person to close the estate. They have a life, and we didn't anticipate the difficulty of what it really means to close the estate. But I closed my estate. I've heard this so many times. But I closed my parents' estate, and it was no problem. Yeah, but did your parents have as much as you have? Oh, well, no. Did they even own a home? Oh, no. They were living in an apartment. Well, did they have pensions, and did they have IRAs, and did they have other investments? Did they have multiple properties? Well, no. My mom was just collecting Social Security. Well, of course you closed it so quickly. So unfortunately, what we do is we take our experience and throw it onto our children, not willing to see what it really means to close a probate. So all these things add into the length and to the time of what it means to close an estate. And it is very, very difficult. And yes, timing is one of the big things that will cause dissension in the family.
Well, we have run to the end of our time for this discussion, and I guess we're going to get into how to pick that person to be your personal representative next time.
Yeah, you might as well come back.
We continue to discuss probate. So many things affected by probate. People are intrigued by your approach to this subject and so many others. How do they get in touch with you, Paul, for your services?
And we can avoid the probate process. So head over to legacyandfaith.com, and there's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate and get a hold of us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.